One proposal that emerges out of this interpersonal neurobiology effort to link different fields of knowing together is a view into the nature of trauma. And there are many fascinating and important scientific efforts to tease apart what trauma is, how it affects us, and how we can resolve it when it's leading to suffering in our lives. What I'm going to present to you is just one view, and there are many, many useful attempts to explore the nature of trauma. This view looks at this particular finding that in flashbacks, which characterize many individuals who have experienced trauma that remains unresolved, in flashbacks, we can propose that the hippocampus has been blocked from performing its integrative functioning. And when this blockage occurs, it makes the individual vulnerable to having laid down the elements of implicit memory in a non-integrated, continually separated fashion, that when they're retrieved, can emerge into awareness in the individual, affecting them without their knowledge and also without their control. So let's take Bill's experience, for example. Bill was a young man of 18 when he was drafted and went to Vietnam. When he was on duty in a helicopter, unfortunately, a terrible accident occurred where his friend was killed. And with his friend severely maimed and held in his arms, Bill flew back to their base. He himself was wounded and was discharged as well. And when he came home, as you may recall, in the United States, the soldiers were not greeted with open arms, and it was a very difficult time for the United States culturally. And he just tried the best he could to get back into society and his life. The Vietnam War was special in certain ways because soldiers were brought into duty by themselves and taken out by themselves. There was no group support, no group experience of entering or coming back. And when he came back by himself, he found himself in isolation, terrified about what he had experienced, having no way of looking at it and doing something about it, no way to share the energy and information that was in his nervous system, and just doing the best he could to survive. But as the years went on, things would happen when Bill would be troubled, when he'd hear a backfiring car or the sound of an airplane overhead, and he would have a startle response and feel frozen inside. And this is an example of two things, where the startle was where Bill would get suddenly an internal sense of chaos and impending doom. But the freezing and the way Bill would start avoiding airports and then avoiding other people was a kind of shutting down. And as you'll see soon, this way in which his post-traumatic stress disorder, which is the formal name for what he had, had elements of chaos on the one hand and rigidity on the other, opens a window for us to understand the nature of well-being and its impairment. That when the mind is doing well, there seems to be this flow of flexibility and harmony. And when the mind is not doing well, it goes to one or both of these extremes. One extreme, chaos, the other, rigidity. Now, how can we explain that? Well, that's what we'll get to later on when we talk about the nature of how the brain, mind, and relationships contribute to well-being. But here for trauma, let's look at it from the point of view of these memory systems we've talked about. When Bill would have the experience of hearing a backfiring car or the sound of a plane. How can we understand what would happen? Well, you remember when we did the analysis of the term Golden Gate Bridge versus Glicanera. We know that when sounds come in, there is a firing of our acoustic nerve, the nerve to our eardrum, based on the movement of sound, movement of air molecules that in our minds we experience as sound. So when there's a backfiring car or the sound of an airplane, Bill's tympanic membrane moves in a certain fashion. It goes and creates a frequency that is a shaking of his membrane that then activates the acoustic nerve in a very specific frequency. And because Bill had experiences that perhaps you and I never had of being in Vietnam with his terrible experience with his best friend in the helicopter, because he had that, his brain will respond to that in a specific way, just like a person who speaks Greek would respond to the term glikanara differently than you who may not speak Greek and wouldn't respond to it at all. So Bill was in a helicopter event where his brain made neural associations with the information of my friend is dead in this horrific accident. I'm wounded. I might die as well. There's the sound of the helicopter. And all of these are associated, as we've seen, in these basic building blocks of implicit memory. Okay. That's how memory is laid down. That's called encoding. Well, why didn't it go further? Or did it go further? Well, here's what can happen. If there's a massive release of stress hormone, for example, cortisol or adrenaline in a state of distress, we now know that these neurochemicals can temporarily shut down the integrative functioning of the hippocampus. Let me repeat that. The state of massive stress releases certain chemicals, such as cortisol or adrenaline, that can temporarily shut off the hippocampus. So one mechanism by which we can understand why Bill's implicit memory may have been laid down but never got moved up into autobiographical memory, where when he retrieved these memories of being in Vietnam, he knew he was remembering something. Instead, in an implicit-only form, without the hippocampus having been involved, when they get retrieved, he just feels like it's happening now. There's no realization that these perceptions and bodily feelings and emotions and actions are driven by something from the past. He's just in it now. It's in the here and now. So stress hormone release, adrenaline release can shut off the hippocampus.